We are now in our study, in our new building, in our new center. Our friends are operating from Netanya. 8 people came today to work in jobs. And we're joining them to, and we're inviting all and thanking all the groups that are participating and also the friends that are coming from overseas and are participating in the work in the new center. So, for the time being, L'chaim to the Netanya group.
We're reading from Kabbalah for the student, page 97, The Condition of Life in the Last Generation. The Condition of Life in the Last Generation, page 97, Kabbalah for the Student. First, everyone must thoroughly understand and explain to his surroundings that the well-being of society, which is the well-being of the state and the well-being of the world, are completely interdependent. As long as the laws of society are not satisfactory to each and every individual in the state and leave a minority that is unsatisfied with the government of the state, this minority conspires under the government of the state and seeks to overthrow it. And if its power is not sufficient to fight the government of the state face to face, it will want to overthrow it indirectly, such as to incite countries against each other and bring them to war. Because it is natural that at wartime there will be a lot more unsatisfied people with which they will have hope of achieving the critical mass to overthrow the government of the state and establish a new leadership that is convenient for them. Thus, peace of the individual is a direct cause for peace of the state. Furthermore, if we take into consideration that that part in the state whose craftsmanship is war, which the state always has, and their every hope of success, such as the scholars of war and those who live by supplying the ammunition, that as far as social quality is concerned, they're always a very significant minority. And if we add them to the unsatisfied minority from the current rules, at every given moment you have a vast amount of people who crave war and bloodshed. Thus, peace of the world and peace of the state are interdependent. Hence, we necessarily find that even that part of the state which is currently satisfied with its life, which are the nimble and the clever, still have a lot to be concerned about for the safety of their lives due to the tensions with those who strive to overthrow them. And if they understood the value of peace, they would be happy to adopt the conduct of living of the last generation, for all that a man has will he give for his life.
Our world is round. Also, the Earth, which is a globe, and also that the changes in it and everything that we see from day to day, that they are round, meaning they're getting rounder. It always goes and repeats itself and goes and comes back and from place to place, and we're all connected, even if we don't want to. But this is what's going on. As a result of us discovering ourselves that we're more and more connected, then we carry out that internal connection that we feel also in an external manner. We build machines and instruments that connect between us. And imagine to yourself, the cell phone of today, does it connect to someone who lived 300 or 400 years ago? What for do we need it? What does he get from it? Even to know what price they're selling flour there or salt, what will it give him? It's so far. Who knows? It's like 1,000 miles away. It won't help them. Meaning there needs to be a special connection, a physical connection. Then it also comes to an emotional connection. And then, according to what one demands, then he develops the train and the car, airplane. He develops connections through the radio waves, connections between everyone. Also, there was no need for that 50 years ago. But now we can't imagine to ourselves that state within 15 years altogether. Even the last 10 years, it started so much to break through this connection between everyone. Why? There's an inner demand. There's an inner lack in people. And therefore, we develop it. There are inner deficiencies that are even greater. The problem is that the ego of all the people holds back and gives us those instruments. There's also upper providence in these instruments. But what am I trying to say? That everything stems from the frustration, from the deficiency, from our inner inclination. And therefore, we develop all these helpful instruments and assisting instruments and correct the world that way. But together with that, we have, as we're so connected all over the world, we have in this also a negative phenomena, a very threatening and dangerous phenomena. Because to the degree that we're all connected all over the world, because of our ego, we are connected to each other in not good desires, that each wants to exploit, enjoy each other, from each other. And hence, if we were capable of making certain limitations, but that's a very big problem. That the connection between us can be very, very dangerous. And despite that, it's a connection. And therefore, here we are in such a interim state. On one hand, we have a deficiency to be completely connected with everyone, to see everyone, to hear everyone without any differences in languages and cultures, and to feel and understand as much as possible. Soon we're going to flip this internet to something completely different, because it gives a very limited form of connection between us. Who can I be connected with, and how many, and so on. It needs to break through. There are already technologies for it, but no one wants to release them yet for the broad usage. So it works out that we here are in a very sharp passage. And this is what Baal HaSulam is saying, that peace in the world depends even on each and every one. And then it works out that each needs correction. Otherwise, he can cause, like this Assange, the WikiLeaks person, or all kinds of people like that, different hackers, they can cause big damages to all our systems that we're dependent upon. I don't know, they said that there's even a movie about that, about how there was a breakthrough to the gas companies in the United States, and they wanted to blow up these natural gas pipelines, and this could be a natural disaster. It's not just a national disaster. The echo will be heard all over the world, and this is just some computer. You get to all these things, you can enter, and some smart person can sit there quietly. Right, Amikam? And this means that as much as we are connected together, until we are corrected, there is a great danger for the peace of the world. He's talking about big conglomerations of people, those who are dealing with war or the instruments of war. They're for sure. I mean, you know, they're just waiting for something to break out somewhere, something, so that they can sell their things, their weapons. Let's say now Israel is selling. Yes, you heard. We're selling now all our old equipment because we need to move into the new equipment. The new equipment has nothing to do with tanks and armory, and it's also not even airplanes. It's pilotless airplanes, and it's a totally new approach. And so what? We need to sell. We need to get rid of it. You can't just throw it out. I wish there would be someone that needs it for a war, and then we're willing to sell, right? What are you laughing? Well, what do you think? Like that. As long as our world is egotistical, that's how people think. Maybe our neighbors will do there something between them. I'll take it from us. We'll supply them that also. We'll also have double pleasure from it. Our ego works in such a way. There's nothing you can do about it. And until we correct it, that's how the order of our thought is. But, and on the contrary, and the other way around, because we are in danger and we can come to such states which are so dangerous, then specifically in this, there's an opening for correction. As we won't have a choice, we won't agree, we won't be able to exist with such a constant, huge threat that it's just not worthwhile to live. It's not worthwhile to start with children and family and all kinds of things. What if each could come and each person could come and stop it in my lifetime, and stop my life? Then it's like I'm in a state that, what will I do? Why should I start something? In such a state, a person at last starts to see that we must correct the state. How will I do that? No one will come and take my life from me. Let's say my life is dependent on each and every one. If each can blow up anything in any country through these things, a little keyboard and his simple computer, so I already need to search for some solution. I can't live constantly under threat. And I can't run all the time after all those hackers, let's say, or wrongdoers. So what should I do? And then it could be that we will come to a decision from a lack of choice. For the time being, we don't even understand in what mechanism the world, humanity can come to a decision. The UN is totally impotent. We see that they're not capable. It's as if everyone's connecting there. Each thinks to his direction and how to, you know, conceal things from the others. That's not a united nation. That's not connection. There isn't who to turn to. There is no such place, institution that you turn to as the representative of humanity. At once, they thought that once a while, a long time ago, they thought that the UN would be such an organization that would be doing that. Well, there's nothing you can do. It's because its components are so egotistical and limited. Well, so no matter what, the peace of the world and the peace of the individual is the same, are the same thing. This is what we're talking about. And the conditions of life of the last generation, we don't quite understand what he's saying. He didn't really open it. The only things that are here depend on it, but we can add that the condition for life for the last generation is from the attainment or achievement of necessity, be in peace and in love between us, Otherwise, we don't continue to live. So the condition of the last generation, love thy friend as thyself, needs to come out from a very bad recognition of evil, and from a lack of choice, I must come to it. We see that the way is also in the individual and also in the collective, the same path. Through the recognition of evil, we come to a decision that we must move to a new order of existence, to a new program, to the new software. Well, thank God, Amnon. What? Give it to him. Look, look, look. He was sick for a week. You were here with your audacity. No, I'm enjoying that I'm learning about you these things and not myself. Yes, but today, it's thank God, everything is good.
I really liked because I was okay.
We all are like that. If we learn bad from him instead of ourselves, then definitely.
I wanted to ask, the article was written about 100 years ago. Back then, there were very hard times. It was the end of the First World War, the beginning of the Second World War. There were hard dictatorships, kingships all over. So what he wrote was very relevant because everything was very explosive. If a country had enemies, then obviously war was on the threshold, and that's what happened. All the wars have started that way as a result of, you know, the roaming hatred. The ego grew, people progressed, and today there's a kind of an openness. I'm not saying that it's good or bad, but there's a kind of an openness. We see, suppose, democracy here in Israel. Open democracy, true. There are those who oppose the regime, but the opposition is open. It's not internal. So I'd like to ask, if in this case, is it not good, the point that we came to?
What we've come to is good because it's on the path of our development. If at some point we received a king, let's say in Europe, those kings there, we don't know, it's a spiritual thing. King Solomon, King David, that period for us is something way above. It's something we don't understand. That's the upper world. As it was truly coming through in a certain way. But let's say the kings in Europe. So you have a king, and he does whatever he wants. One ruler. Later comes the industrial development, the Burganut, which is the later development, and this becomes a certain misunderstood rule. There's not one, even though there is like one there, like in Belgium or in England. It's all like a puppet. To make some kind of something pretty in life. So there'll be a symbol before others. But the force is in people that have money. They have money, they have control, and they rule. And this is the main thing, meaning a few families altogether rule the world. Those that started 300 or 400 years ago, even 500 years ago, to manage the financial world with the force of money. And also the kings during that time, they already started to organize in a certain way, to raise this one and put that one down. That's the inner force in the world. That's truly a few families, such that it's above states, it's above everything. With them, they're looking at the map in a total different way.
You're talking about today?
Including today. It started, let's say, 400 years ago. From the first bank, it's called Baruchi. And then Rothschild and Rockefeller and the known families. Above them, the clothing, the wrapping, and the external expression is the government. And then they put them and they manage them, and whatever they have to do, they do. What you're calling democracy is to do some kindergarten out of the whole world and some kindergarten teacher that takes care of them to calm them down and to get from them what you need in a way that they will be calm and satisfied. That's it. That's called democracy. Where do you see it? In my eyes, it's the most concealed rule, form of government, the most false. If there's a king, then the king says, I'm the king, and you're the zeros, you're my slaves, that's it, there's no problem. Put your head, everyone, lower the head to every person, like this to anyone, that's it. Then it's clear to you that there's someone who decides and defines things. If there were all kinds of people around him, the strong people, the rich people, then in democracy, no one has any force. And no one has responsibility. That's how people actually feel. You see what happens to them. Yesterday he said like this, today he's saying differently. And therefore this form of rule that we are so proud of is a rule in my eyes which is the most, how should I say, it's the most despicable. And we're discovering it actually from day to day. That it doesn't have forces, it doesn't have abilities, it doesn't have authority to do anything. And also, the nations more and more are relating to it in such a way. That's how they relate to it. That's their attitude towards it. Just like the masses, the general public doesn't have any forces. Also that governing body doesn't have any force. So they got themselves a good job, they have a good salary, they get good benefits, they go on hiatuses, and they yell at each other. That's the kind of people that like to pass time that way. This revelation we will still have to truly see. We're going to have to discover it, all of us. And this is one of the discoveries in the recognition of evil that will help us change the situation. But if we were to take into account monarchy, a kingdom, a monarchy, a true, real, correct monarchy. Well, there's all kinds. There's parliamental monarchy and other kinds. But actually, the king would be concerned, the wise, correct, materialistic, not our king's. He would care for his people more than he cares for his parliament and with all the nice words. Because the king would feel, this is mine, they are mine, it's my property. And they don't feel it that way. They feel it's, who are they at all? They're zeros. Nothing exists. Yes.
We, suppose, egoistically looking at the state of Israel, Suppose we're between Russia and the U.S., and Russia at some point started taking on a tendency toward democracy or something like that. I don't exactly know how it was, but we see that today we favor the U.S. because they are a democratic state, and we see that Russia is starting to go back to one very strong leader. They're going back to a state where he becomes ruler, the only ruler. Putin, he's very smart, of course, and obviously he's becoming a person who's concentrating all the authorities in his hands. Again, a kind of a monarchy. And here in the so-called Israel democracy, we see that our tendency, we tend toward the U.S., that there we kind of have the ability to express ourselves, and there is someone who, as if, listens, or doesn't matter, but we have as if the ability to express ourselves.
So what's the question?
The question is, should we come back to that previous state? Is it right what Russia's doing, that there's one person with all the strength?
No, I don't know if we should get into this. Here it is a formula system where you need to take into account the nation, its attributes, its qualities. You have to also take into account the education that's given to the nation and to the people and how they're educated. And the Russians have an inclination towards one ruler. Yes. They're built for that. Only let them do what they want in life, but they're above. Let there be a ruler that's clear. Other than having Republicans and Democrats, and they're arguing and this and that, and a whole big mess, I don't think that the Americans understand what's going on there either. And in Russia also there's a big mess there with the bribery and that's going on there. And this is, of course, something that the corruption that the government can take care of. They didn't educate the people, and it's come to terrible situations. But if there was no corruption, bribery, and they would stand the rule the way they want to stand it, I don't think there's a difference between America and Russia at all. Americans in a concealed, hidden way, but they're ruling over their people with rules and laws that are much more strict than in Russia. Truly like that. And a lack of, how should we say this, freedom there, relatively. It may not appear from outside, but it's not much different than there. Everyone's working, and there's no choice. It's not that these are good or they are bad. There's no choice. Government is control, and you need to have instruments to rule. You need to constantly hold on to the nation in certain boundaries, and if you allow on one hand, you have to close them on the other side, and so on. How do you close? The problem is that education is of that of education, because education is lower than any values that could be acceptable in both places, and therefore it's impossible to even hold on to the rule in either place. Everything will just come out of their hands, because they cannot approach today the new generation. And they can't. They don't have any approach. This is changing now, not by all the big ones and the rich ones. This is the inner program in people, which is changing and bringing people to the new state. And therefore, all these rules, we shouldn't even do the calculations. America, Russia, it's all falling apart. The question is, how will it end? This is our choice. But certainly, the conditions of life of the last generation are of such that through the recognition of evil we will come to necessity to change our nature, because there is no condition in nature, in human society, in industry, in trade, in rule and control, in government. Everything depends on people. That's the one condition that we can change, and if it changes, everything changes. We need to come to that understanding. Therefore, the moment humanity starts to recognize this, their hands will be... They'll put their hands... They'll simply raise their hands up out of everything and say, we don't need to do anything other than only towards the nature of man. And if they get to it, they won't come to it in a direct manner. It's after we develop a new industry, which is by robots and the industry which is without people working in it, even in medicine and in trade, in everything. Let machines work. People must free themselves other than maintaining all these machines and developing new ones that are even better in their place, that are maybe more energy more efficient and so on. But other than supplying this necessity to people, the only thing we should be dealing with is in self-education, only in education. And education, connection, everything in order to come to the complete correction and connection in this world. Yes. Well, Mordechai, yes?
Yep. I saw this show on National Geographic about the food industry. It's a real catastrophe.
All the channels like that, wherever I enter. When I'm on a diet, I enter in every channel. I'm like, I close my eyes and I open it like that. It's very tempting.
The thing is that what you see there, it's at least this is how I saw it, it is a true... effort to poison the world. Meaning everything is so deviated, distorted there. You can see it in the States, suppose, that you really impose the corn. What seeds will they develop? What won't they? And everything is truly anti-everything. That eventually it causes people to... be ill, die.
No.
Maybe that's the goal,
I think so.
Says Rav. At least they'll enjoy the corn.
Right. But in our point of view, as we're looking at it from the place and this longing in order to really bring some change, you see certain immense powers that really want to poison the world. Maybe it's the way to get rid of the people. Maybe of some 6 billion, so only a billion will remain, and we'll just poison the world. Here's another way.
True.
And then I say to myself,
right, but on the way I have to become rich as a result.
Of course, get rich.
So I need them to live longer, and I need them to be sicker, more ill, eat bad food, use more medicine. In short, for the consumption to constantly grow, because I get percentage of the consumption.
Right.
That's what I need then. Do you understand what a person sitting up there thinks?
I understand. I don't think he sees it all. I think he only...
No, mister. It is a very clear calculation, very precise calculation. What exactly should I do? Suppose internal revenue, what is that? I take 10% of each and every act. I wish 10%, but the more actions the more actions, the more percentage I get. Even if you don't manufacture anything, but it passes from someone to someone, I deserve something.
So the question is, without some absolute revolution, I'm looking at the United States right now, truly from a longing to change and everything like that, how do you change this thing? You see in the United States, citizens are yelling, shouting
only
out
through man's nature.
That I understand that it's by the nature of person.
But what will go to the regime and will try to change it from there, once you get there, you're exactly
right.
Like them. We have a friend of ours there. He's with his torch, Olympic torch, he's going there. That's Lapid, the new guy in the Israeli politics. He came in with a new agenda and he is quenched.
Because I see here immense forces that are simply bringing us all to destruction, and that's an opportunity on one hand. I see an opportunity because everyone's crying out. On the other hand, I don't know how these forces are. Well, it's clear that it's with the reforming light and that we need to be included and integrated, and it's forces. Today, when I traveled from Beersheba to here, I felt like I'm coming to a mission. What are you talking about? The world is about to break apart in a minute. I need to get up in the morning and to get over here.
Don't worry. First of all, come down. You are in trustworthy hands. Everything is under control. And sure, get married. What do you mean? He's not married. No date yet.
There will be. No, I'm here, so.
Guys, take care of him.
Yeah, care for him. Here,
Bala Sulam
is talking about all the ministers of war and some big ruin and destruction. I don't know. In my opinion, as I look at it, I don't know if the war is what we need to be afraid of so much.
No one's afraid of war any longer. They talk about it all over, that it's a very successful business.
Not only business, but if you look at strong rulers today, there aren't so many. Even Putin is not Putin of the previous category.
Obviously.
There's almost none of that.
And you won't have that. How will you make it happen?
That.
Depict the desired situation and recommend something that will bring you, some action that will bring you to the desired state.
The problem, as I see it, is that people already don't have hope or faith that it could be any other way. And when you succeed in every place to awaken that in them, that it can be, and it's something that they want so much, but they're already despaired from hoping. When they all of a sudden absorb that, that could be, you see that
you revive that
spark.
Person, you revive him, sure.
Truly, you see, it's like you're giving water to a dry plant. It's truly amazing. And it can be done, really, when you sit and you invest in a person or in a group of people some time. But how to come and bring it to something more broad, into a wider operation.
Only through dissemination. When you go out to the masses, you need dissemination. So what you have to... This is why I say, now you're a bit more in the field. You see how despaired people are. The world is in despair. The world is suffering. The world is helpless. They don't have any light at the end of the tunnel, nothing. It's not worthwhile getting married, having children, doing everything. They're playing as if being happy and having security, but it's all... They have to revive themselves this way somehow, otherwise, what? We'll go to the cemetery and lie there until we die. This is why it says that we have to speed things up.
I only think that we are constantly talking about some message that we need to pass on. And
our message is simple. Show everyone that there is a special force in the connection between people.
People understand that. They understand that they can't hide in their homes anymore alone. They'll come to them, to any place they come. Inside, they understand that. The main work is somehow to create in them the faith in you
You don't need faith, you don't need trust. Every evening, prime time, systematically, instead of having whatever plans you have there or whatever shows you have there, a show that is a workshop.
How will you get to prime time?
Your prime time on your show, on your television.
Our prime time with all
publicize it in all newspapers.
We did such campaigns already, no?
That's what you have to do. And then people will at least once open, if every time they see the same ad, you know how it works, eventually they'll shift to channel 66 and see that there is a kind of an activity here that gives them a sense of vitality, life, pleasantness, warmth, security, something good, calm. I want it once a day. It's really like, it's such an excellent action, excellent activity. Do it. Please go ahead. This is what you have to do.
What is that good and calm thing?
That they watch the workshop. You build the workshop before them, not like we do it for our groups, but you build it in a way that they become integrated. The theme of the workshop, it's something that's close to them. They talk there. They don't argue, but they complete each other. They also, there's an explanation about the kind of connection, and you pull them in, suck them in like with a vacuum cleaner. You suck them in, and they participate emotionally, like with everything that is presented nicely. A person, he penetrates with his feelings, and he sees how good it is. The same, like, in a circle that we make for him, he becomes a part of that circle. He can't leave you. You gave him a hook, and he becomes a part of that. You gave him light and life. Do it. How do we reach millions? This way you can reach everyone. Do it on the internet. If it grabs the person, really captures him, it will be all over.
Can this be done without any impersonal connection?
Yes. Enough that you present it this way from the screen. Can't you see on the screen something that you can cry from? You see these things sometimes, you start crying or something, and if the action is right for you, it becomes a matter of life or death. You can be influenced to that extent. It all depends on the artistry of it. If we do it with the light that we can put into that action, with all the different right things, no problem. A dozen of people will make a revolution in the world. Ten people. I'm telling you. 10 people. You don't need anything. Just do it once. I mean, not once, but make it in one place and something that has a continuity. That is a must. Because until you go to different circles, it's good. It's good to meet the people face-to-face in order to get to know their needs and the public itself, and then to be able to build that kind of dissemination with the tents, through the screen, the workshops of the tent. So we have to go out to the public and so on. But actually, that is the result that has to come. Therefore, in the meantime, I'm waiting for us to have gather the experience and people understand, and then we will do it. Let's hope that in a month or two, let's say in a month or two or three, we'll start doing it. It's a must. This is the first and primary thing. And these workshops, we have to make them in all about all topics for all different ages, about education, divorce, children, everything. And that the moment a person is included in it, and even if it doesn't have to directly do with him, but he's included in it, and he gets this depiction of this nice, hot, warm, pleasant form inside him, like that raspberry ball. and you can put in all the problems and everything that humanity is experiencing, the happiness, the problems, the everything. Yes, Shimon.
Can I ask about the convention?
There were two questions.
There were two questions yesterday in the meetings of the Scandinavian group with the friends in Europe. First of all, is there a meaning for the geographical meaning? Is there, it was in Peter, it was in Siberia. Is there a meaning to the geographical place for the for Congress?
After Peter, of course, we go to Sweden. They were always they had a strife. If it's Peter we're talking about, then we had Gustav back there. There were problems and wars there all over, all the time. Why did they build St. Peter's? Because of Sweden, because of the war
and
with them.
Should we see this as a European convention or as a Scandinavian convention? Should we, because there's a lot of activity right now in Europe. And
no, I think it's first and foremost, it's a Scandinavian Congress. I want to see all of our friends from Scandinavia there. No one stays at home behind this computer screen. Everyone has to come there from Scandinavia. I don't think that it's a real European Congress. First of all, there is a limited number of places. All in all, 200 places there in the place. I see in your eyes that you want to come. You won't come. And it's not that now there's a whole plane coming from Israel because you'll rest on the plane and go back. That's really how it's going to be. It's made so on purpose in order to, first of all, make it a Scandinavian Congress. And then for Europeans, for whoever is nearby, probably from the Baltic countries and Northern Europe.
Because the topic is integral education will be the topic of the convention, they're asking, can we ask also new people or only our students?
They can invite anyone, everyone and anyone. I'm ready to do anything and everything. Just so, as long as after the Congress, we see that this whole area is really starting to develop. It's very important. If they're really strong, like they always want to say about themselves, the Vikings. So let's see them.
Asaf?
I wanted about the previous topic about dissemination. I don't know if we have enough time. I'll say it fastly. It works out that I get to go out to the field a lot, and we do activities to get to know all kinds of places. And also, in parallel, and I'm busy in making media for the masses, the broad audience. And it's clear to me that it needs to be something, and that the audience, the public, wants this. Contrary to the work from above down, there's a work that the public needs to want. It. Something new that they want. The question is like this. I see that the form of the workshop is very distant from the current state of people. They got used to and already have a habit of argument and drama and some kind of things like that. Our slow form that someone passes them a microphone like this and like that, they're not capable to grasp that yet. The question is, you're talking about doing this filmed workshop and showing it to the broad audience. Do you see it necessarily this way or in another way?
I think that if we will shoot and direct a workshop the way I see it, people will get in such an emotional connection with each other. They will talk from such different contradicting action angles, but nonetheless it will open a new layer of perception and understanding in that person, and he will be enchanted by what happens. That is possible. I don't see any other form. But identifying myself with people who discuss about how to improve their life because there's no choice, they do it together in connection and a hug, I don't see any other form. And also all the Kabbalists, this is what they dictate, this form. also this form, it's in accordance with the higher form. How else can you do it? A drama, a comedy, and a family. Do it, please, but eventually it has to be something of the sort. So there won't be 10, there will be 5, 3, doesn't matter. But it has to be something that comes out of mutual consent. Its basis is the consent that we have no choice, we must sit together. Or there will be, argument, they'll beat each other up before that, but eventually they come to a state where they sit down and hug. Like, they have no choice, like the students of Rabbi Shimon. They have to sit down and create a new state for the whole world.
And one announcement before we finish. Come and see the College of Kabbalah La'am invites you to a introduction lesson in the fundamentals of Kabbalah. Iran Shiovitz will do it in the Tel Aviv branch on Wednesday, 7 o'clock, Igal Alon Street. For details, 1-700-509-209. And let's not forget our homework from yesterday with our training of integral education to write half a page which convinces every person why what we have to recommend can solve what he needs in life. Send it in Sviva Tova to the study material channel. Have a great day.
Yeah.